Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. For anyone listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast. Then search for Benefit from the Bible. God bless your listening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we find ourselves here on the last Sunday in the church year, we are thinking about everything coming to an end when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And yet we know He is not here yet. He is yet to come. So help us to see in our reading today from the book of Jude, help us to see how You are showing us what is important for us in order to help us to persevere, and also in order to use us to reach out and touch the lives of others. And then show us, too, that though we are weak, You are strong, and You can help us accomplish all these things. Make these things clear to us, and then move us to action unto Your glory and the benefit of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we find ourselves in between Jesus' first and second comings. So now what? Well, we are aware of our sins. We are sorry for our sins. We know we have God's precious gift of forgiveness. So with all of that in mind, God is going to call us today through this little section we look at in the book of Jude in order to follow particular actions while we are waiting for Jesus to come again. Our text picks up in verse 20 of the book of Jude. Keep in mind, this is one of those one-chapter books, so it does pick up in verse 20, but I need to go a little bit before that so you can understand why it says what it says in 20 and following. So going back to verse 17, it says this in the book of Jude. You must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. So we heard what was said there. It's talking about negative realities going on in the world. But God wants us to know, though, that we should not be like such people. We should not be involved in sin, but rather we should be different as we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, we go right into the text then, picking up in verse 20, and it starts with the word but. So in other words, again, it said something negative about what is going on with most people, but we are to be different. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So God has told us what to do. He has told us to keep ourselves in His love. I think He has also told us how to do it by praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? I believe that means praying in connection with the Word of God. So in order to pray in that way, first of all, we have to read the Word of God, think about what it says, and then based on that word, now we're going to God in prayer. And what are we really praying about when we go to God in prayer? We might say, Dear Lord, thank You so much for showing me what Your word means. And then we want to add in our prayer, Lord, give me the power now to be able to live out this word in my daily life. The Bible does have this sharp statement back in Psalm 145. It says, The Lord keeps all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. The Bible makes it clear that those who love Him are ones who have had a heart transplant. They have been changed from the inside, and now that change is showing forth more and more on the outside. And how is that showing forth? By people wanting to know more and more what this book is teaching, and then more and more putting it into practice in their daily lives. I think that's what God is telling us to do as ones who are Christians, as we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, when we are in that situation, in other words, we are in the Word of God, we are praying for God to help us make application of His Word in our lives, now we are in a situation where God wants to use us to be a special blessing to other people. And in the text here, there are three different groups of people, types of people that are identified. So we're looking at people who doubt God's truth, who believe false teachings, and who could even pull us into sin. The Bible says, as we go now to verse 22 of the book of Jude, it says, "And have mercy on those who doubt." So there are many doubters in the world today. Many people doubt what the Bible says. Should we make fun of them? Should we put them down? Should we ask them what's wrong with them for not believing like we believe? By no means. Rather, we should be kind to them. We should try to show them the truth of God in the best way that we can, and we should be available to answer their questions. Maybe for some of us, we can think back to a time in our lives where we were doubters. If you can put yourself in that position and then try to say, if I was doubting what the Bible teaches about sin, about salvation, about God's will for my life, how would I want someone else to approach me on that topic? It's good to put ourselves in that kind of a position, figure out how we would want someone else to approach us, and then that should instruct us on how maybe we then could reach out to others who are doubting. And then regarding those who believe false teachings, it says in verse 23, "Save others by snatching them out of the fire." So if people are believing false teachings, they have not been set free by Jesus Christ, because it is the truth that sets us free. So if they're locked in false, they are imprisoned, they are not free. So how do we snatch them out of the fire? I believe we do that by kindly showing them their sins, but not simply saying it off the top of our head, but rather going to them and saying, you know, I'm concerned about your eternal well-being, and in the Bible right here, it says such and such. And I'm concerned that this is something that is going on in your life that the Bible speaks against. And maybe you can do that in several places in the Bible, so you're showing them the law of God. You're showing them how they have fallen short. And once God has worked that in their lives to the point where they're a little bit like those people on the day of Pentecost, and they cried out after they had been pierced in the heart, they cried out and said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Once people know that they are condemned by the law because they cannot keep it perfectly, and they say, "What shall we do?" Then you point them to Jesus Christ, and you tell them the good news of who he is and what he has done. Have you saved them then? By no means, but you have shared with them the law. It has done its work. You've shared with them the gospel, and now you entrust them to the Almighty God. He is the Savior. He is the one who ultimately has to enable them to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And then we have a third group here, talking about people who could pull us into sin. So it goes on to say in verse 23, "To others, show mercy with fear." Show mercy with fear. So we should be kind again, thus merciful to other people, but we should do so with fear. Why is that? As they are living in sin, and as we approach them, there's certainly a great danger that rather than us pulling them out of sin, they can pull us into sin. So we want to do this very carefully. We want to do it fearfully. We want to do so with prayer, with the blessing of God. And then it goes on to say, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Think about that. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So imagine you're doing, let's say, yard work, and it's a really hot day, and you're all hot and dirty and sweaty. And then let's say you'd go in the house, no bath, no shower, you just would put on clean clothes right over that hot, sweaty, dirty body. What's going to happen to those clothes? Those clothes are going to get soiled by your hot, dirty, sweaty body. So as the body ends up having a negative effect on the clothes, so I think what God wants us to understand here is this reality of sin. It can also touch and taint other things. So sin is something that God hates. We hate it too. And then even the things that sin touches and corrupts, God is saying, recognize such things and hate that too. Realize that one leads to the other, and neither one of them are any good. Neither one of them are pleasing to God. They're both things that we should avoid as ones who are holy in God's sight through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the second part here, we ask the question, how is it possible to do such things? Well, first of all, God wants us to know that we cannot do it on our own. I love what Dee said about how she can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. That's the attitude. God wants us to know on one hand, we are helpless, we can do nothing on our own. However, though, we're not on our own. We have God our Father who loves us. We have God the Son who lived and died for us. We have God the Holy Spirit living within us. And God is there. God is for us to bless us and to give us the power to do all these different things. Going to verse 24, the Bible says, now to him, that is God the Father, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. So let's keep in mind that God the Father, he works by the Holy Spirit through the Holy Word in order to keep us from falling away from our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that's true? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God is the one who begins it. God is the one who carries it on. We might say, how does God do that work? God has chosen to work through particular means. So he worked through the means of holy baptism to initially unite us to Christ. He works through the means of the Lord's Supper, the very body and blood of Christ under the bread and the wine, in order to assure us of that forgiveness. And he works through his holy word in order to strengthen us in Christ, in order to show us the way he wants us to go as his holy children. So we think about the passage there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about all these wonderful things God does through the Bible. That's where it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God or even the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So God is working here in order to greatly bless us in our Christian lives. It also mentions some great blessings there in verse 24. It talked about how we are blameless through Jesus Christ and how we are filled with great joy. Therefore, because we are blameless in God's sight, because we have great joy knowing our sins are forgiven, I think this is the kind of attitude that we should live with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How do we glorify God? Well, we know, according to Romans chapter 3, we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when we sin, that is less than the glory of God. So how do we glorify God? That's when we know, and with his power, we do his will. That's how we glorify God. We know that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, he glorified God in everything because he never, ever sinned. God wants us to bring him glory too by knowing and following his will for our lives. Finally, in verse 25, it says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." So God the Father, did you catch that there? God the Father, he is our Savior. How did he save us? He saved us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and also through the Holy Spirit, who was at work in the waters of baptism and who continues to be at work through the Bible in order to keep us in the one true faith. Since God our Father is so wonderful and so powerful, may he help us to give him all the glory, all the majesty, all the dominion, all the authority. And then did you notice there at the end of the reading how it talks about these realities being true in the past, all the way back to eternity before creation? All those things are present right now, and they're going to be present going forward forever and ever. So there's never a time when these things were not true about God the Father. God wants us to know that and be a part of giving him all that wonderful glory and praise now and forever. How do we do that? Trusting in Jesus, seeking and following his will in our lives, and reaching out to others, never with our own strength, but with his, so that he might use us to be a blessing to others. And in the process, God is going to bless us too. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.